God seems to be doing something with our church in giving us this connection to Africa. You know, I didn't, when I got saved, I was never one to say, hey, I thought God would call me to be a missionary, but it's never, I want to run to Africa. And he said, I wanted to go to Mexico, I wanted to go to Belgium. But we seem to be going to Africa. And we, as you know, nine of us went in February, and then nine more, maybe 10 are going in a couple of months here, back to Ghana, West Africa. And we're privileged to have with us missionaries to Africa, Ken and Mary Lee Crocker, and their daughter Amanda is here. They've been here several times. We've been supporting them for years. They're wonderful friends of Mount Hope Church, and I'm looking forward just for them to bring a report and just to share what God is doing with them and through them in Africa. So let's give Ken and Mary Lee Crocker a great Mount Hope welcome.
Thank you, sir. Well, thank you. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. It is good to be with you this morning. Coming here to Mount Hope, Portland is always one of our favorites, but for some reason it always seems to be in the winter. I don't know why, but anyway, thank God for good roads today. It is a pleasure to be with you, and we want to say thank you for the support that you've given us for a number of years, a long time. We've been at it for 24 years. And so Mount Hope has been right there with us almost that whole time. So thank you very much for your faithfulness and for praying for us. Amen. You know, I don't have to acquaint you with Africa, right? I better introduce my wife before and my daughter before I do anything. Would you two stand? Here's Mary Lee and here's Amanda. So, we were at a church a few weeks ago. I forgot to do that. And the pastor just let me have it publicly. But that's another story. But I don't have to acquaint you with Africa. You've heard, you've been participating in trips going there, and you hear regular reports. One thing I want to remind you, though, that there are good things in Africa and there are bad things, right? Just like anywhere. And oftentimes from a missionary to Africa, you'll hear a lot about the poverty. You'll hear about the trouble. You'll hear about the competition to become the poorest country. You know, it seems like we exalt those statistics. I want to tell you about the good things that God is doing in Africa, across the continent. Someone say amen?
Amen.
All right. So if it's coming up, there it is. Africa has embraced what is called the Decade of Pentecost. They are believing God for 10 million new believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and then mobilized as witnesses. 10 million. Now, we are 4 years into the decade of Pentecost already. I serve on the Acts in Africa team where we go across the continent of Africa and we hold a week teaching sessions, seminars, conferences, with rallies in the evening, and just promoting the work of the Holy Spirit and giving teaching and encouraging the pastors to have their people filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when that happens, your whole world changes. When the Holy Spirit empowers you, you begin to see life totally different. So Africa has embraced this. This is an Africa initiative, and they're saying, we want this. So many of the nations, we work with 52 nations on the continent of Africa, because we all know Africa is not a country. It's a continent. So 52 different nations we work with the Assemblies of God there. And so we're traveling around and we're encouraging them. They're coming up with statistics, and they're praying, and they're saying, God, what do you want to do in our country? And so as a result of that, I just want you to see some of the statistics they're looking at. Right now in Africa, even though it says 2012, that's the last time we had the statistics, even though we're 2014, there are 17 million Assemblies of God believers on the continent. 17 million. Any idea how many are in America? Three? I think it's about 3 million. So you can see how just one denomination on that continent, the Assemblies of God, what God is doing through them. So we're at 17 million today. By 2020, we want to be at 26 million. Okay? A number of churches, we have like 68,000, and then they're projecting 106,000 being planted. You can see trained ministers, missionaries deployed. Statistically, we say that in the Assemblies of God, there's 400 African missionaries sent out. But realistically, that number is like 1,000. But it's just hard to get statistics in Africa. So now if they already have 1,000, by 2020, that 1,099 is going to be far surpassed. So these are African missionaries being sent out by the African church. Hallelujah. This is a good thing. Some people get upset about that in America because we have this warped understanding. We think we own the Great Commission. We do not. The Great Commission belongs to every believer who's following Jesus Christ, whatever nation, whatever continent they're from. And so Africans are all over the place. Hallelujah. And then you see the last statistic, those baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see that's a great concern. Because even though we say we're a Pentecostal church and we depend on the infilling of the Holy Spirit, yet statistically only 20% of our people are filled with the Holy Spirit. But thank God the goal of the African church is 100% and not 25% or not half or not three quarters, but 100%. So there are a lot of good things happening. When I look at this, this means there's a lot of work that needs to take place. But at the same time, we've got to ask ourselves, where are the additional 10 million new believers going to be? Where are they going to fellowship? Under trees? No. Buildings are going to have to be built. Bible schools are going to have to be established. Extension centers established. Some of these churches want to create hospitals, radio stations, television stations. They're just dreaming big. That's good. That's good. How are we going to disciple all these new ministers? How are we going to train missionaries? When I look at these statistics, I get excited, but at the same time, I've been in Africa long enough where it comes down to one thing for me. You ready for the one thing? Where's the money going to come from? Now, how spiritual is that? It's very spiritual. Very spiritual. We have to ask that question. Where is the money going to come from? Well, I believe God's going to provide it, but I'm not one that says the American church is going to fund all of this. I believe that the African church can fund Africa's vision. Okay, now that was a real good place to say amen. You missed it, but I'll move on. I believe that the African church has great resources. We know there's poverty, but we also know there's great resources. Better than that, here in America, we teach people in Discipleship 101 that we need to honor God with 10% of our income. We need to honor God with the tithe. And we need to give sacrificial offerings. We teach that. Okay, when this hand goes up, that means amen. That's what we teach. And we say that God will honor His word. We say that in America, right? And I'm saying to you that we can teach those same principles in Africa and have the same success. If we teach it over there and if it does not work, then it's not the gospel. Then it's just some Western warped understanding of God's word. But I believe it will work. We have seen it work. We've pastored in Africa. It does work. When God's people honor God with their financial resources, somehow God comes to their aid. Somehow. Somehow is not one of those words that mean, well, I don't know. Somehow, by definition, means by whatever means. Hallelujah. So when there's a need in Africa, somehow, by whatever means, God is going to show up and help our African brothers and sisters. That doesn't mean we dissolve any partnerships. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying strengthen our partnership. Let's restore dignity. Let's help the African church come to a place of dignity where we're becoming more equal partners in giving. Because when we start giving more, then we can do more. Oh, man, the hand is up on that one. So we have to ask ourselves, how does God fund His mission? I believe God funds His mission not through businessmen alone. And if you're a businessman here, I'm sure that you are a blessing to the church. But let me tell you, oftentimes we run to the businessman. But it's our responsibility as individuals. God funds His mission through you and through me. Each and every one of us. I don't believe anybody is excluded from honoring God with the tithe and offerings. Oh, by the way, what I'm saying to you today is what I speak in Africa, across the continent. The next slide you'll see what we're busy with. It's called Africa Financial Empowerment. It has nothing to do with microloans. It has nothing to do with setting up businesses, even though those are great things. It has everything to do getting the African church back to what the Word says about honoring God with their resources. So we want to see Africa's finances fulfilling God's mission. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to step on some toes this morning. So you might want to pull them in. I want you to turn to Psalm 67. The title of this message is Your Money and His Mission. Your Money and His Mission. Now, let's set the groundwork. The money you have in your pocket right now, men, the money you have in your wallet, in that secret compartment in the wallet, you know, that one that flips up and you can easily slide a $100 bill. Everybody knows that one. It's not a secret. That money in there, the money in the 401, the money in the bank, the CDs, the investments, the money hidden between the mattresses, wherever the money is, ladies, wherever the money is, men, it's not ours. It truly, truly belongs to God. And we are but stewards of what God wants done with that money. It's His money and it's His mission. So if we look at Psalm 67, with that thought in mind, okay, with that thought in mind, look at Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. That Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise You, O God. May all the peoples praise You. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise You, O God. May all the peoples praise You. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him. That's a powerful psalm. Did you notice how many times nations are mentioned or peoples are mentioned? If you're like me, you've prayed this psalm. How many have said to God, I need Your grace? How many have said, God bless me? How many have said, God, make Your face shine upon me. Give me Your favor. Yeah, that's a good prayer. Nothing wrong with that. But now hold on. I believe the reason we pray verse number one is found in verse number two. So that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. I am from the camp that believes God blesses us here in America, not for our own comfort primarily. I believe that God blesses us so that we will be a blessing to the nations. I believe it with all my heart. Friends, it isn't about us. It's all about God. I have no reason why you and I are here in America at such a time like this. I was not asked to be born. I just showed up on the scene. And because I showed up where I showed up, instead of walking aimlessly through life, I decided to submit my life to Christ. And then I began to realize, hey, this isn't about me. It's not about us. It's all about God. From Genesis to Revelation, you see God working throughout the history of humankind to get His people, not only the Israelites, but all people to come to Him. And so He wants you and I today to somehow get a hold of His mission and live our lives in fulfillment of His mission. It's not about us. It's about Him. So the money we have, what He has given to us. Now we are clearly talking about money today. I am not talking about your time. Because you know what we say? Well, if I don't give my money, I'll give my time. Oh, I don't buy that either. I'm not talking about your talents. I'm talking about our money, which is His money. Can I continue? Okay, that's more than half. We'll go. three things real quick. Three things. Let me tell you. As I almost forgot to tell you, I get so excited sometimes. We are going to the country of Botswana. And we have been traveling the last 3 years up and down the continent of Africa, east, west, north, and south, talking about AFE, Africa Financial Empowerment. The National Church leadership, they love it. They absolutely love it because they see it's a need. They need more resources to do God's mission. And so they're saying, come and do it. So we're going to base in Botswana. We're going to saturate that nation with the things I'm going to share with you this morning. But also we have approval from our leadership to travel the continent for the next 4 years. So it's going to be a very busy time. But so far, we've done this the last 2.5 years. The National Church has received us well. Hallelujah. And God's going to continue to do something great. So again, what I'm sharing with you this morning, I don't pull any punches in Africa. It's the same thing. Are you ready? Three things. Number one, when we give, there is a sacred element. There is a sacred element in giving, a sacred element. I believe that giving must be viewed as a time of worship. Worship. Look at by definition, it's extravagant respect or admiration to an object of esteem. That object of esteem for you and for me, it's God. So when we bring our offerings to God, when we honor Him with the tithe and with our sacrificial offerings, it is worship. We read in the Old Testament, just very briefly, a very general view, we read that before there was a temple built, people, God's people would gather around a stone altar to worship God. Some would bring animals, some would bring drinks, some would bring crops, and they would leave them on the altar. The fire of the altar would consume that offering. Okay? Now, each item that was brought, whether it was an animal, whether it was a crop, whether it was a drink offering, each item had significant meaning. It had significant meaning to God because He's the one who gave the instruction. And therefore, it also had significant meaning to the worshiper. So it had significant meaning. Number two, it represented their wealth. When someone brought that offering, it represented their wealth because it had value. It had value. We could say it was coming from their assets. They brought an animal. They brought crops. Whatever it was, it had value. So it had significant meaning. It represented their wealth. So it had value. So the worshipers, I want you to picture it. The worshipers brought something they valued, left it at the altar. That was their giving to God. Giving away something of value, we say it's an act of sacrifice. It's an act of sacrifice. When we offer something precious to God, whether great or small, it means something to us, that is sacrifice. So when we bring our gifts to the Lord, our tithe and our offering, the presentation of the offering, the actual offering itself, whether it's cash, whatever, that offering, as well as the act of giving it, is worship. Both elements constitute that act of worship. You'll notice that in the Old Testament, the giving wasn't done by proxy. People came and gave. They participated in the offering themselves. I read of churches today that they don't speak about money in the church because we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Because of all the abuses, and there have been abuses. But friends, the best way to fix an abuse is to bring the truth. And so some people are not bringing the truth. So what they do, and no offense, but I think they're missing it. They put a box by the door. And they say, just put it in there. Friends, if we do that, we're missing the whole worship aspect. It's not about paying dues. Come on now. This isn't the Elks Club. It's not the Knights of Columbus. It's not any other social community group. This is God's house. When we give, we don't give to Pastor Joe. We don't really give to Mount Hope, Portland. We don't give to the Assemblies of God. We give to God Himself. We honor God that way. Now, it's true. It's true that the leadership will use that money to fund God's mission in the community. But friends, if you are thinking, if anybody thinks they're giving to the church, I'm telling you that thinking is going to end up I'm almost saying stinking thinking. But the idea is you're going to be demotivated. I've been in some churches where the pastor will say, we need your tithe and offering. It's what keeps the lights on. Well, yeah, But let me tell you, if you want to demotivate me in giving, tell me I'm paying your electricity bill. I have one of those at home. I don't need another one. Now, I'm a reasonable man. I understand that gets paid, but I'm giving to the Lord. I'm giving to the Lord when I give. So, and it's, as we give, it's an expression of our love to God, and a commitment, our commitment to His purposes. Giving to God, we're starting the year out, so let's do it. It's not an option. It's really not an option. Because if we are fully serving, totally 100%, if we're all in serving God through His Son, Jesus Christ, everything is His. And I'm not withholding any aspect. If He's Lord of my life, He's Lord of my finances. He has to be. Don't kid yourself, friends. If and I don't mean to be harsh, but here it is. If you're not giving, then I wonder if the Lord is truly Lord of everything. Of everything. You see, giving is worship. And when we forget that worship aspect, then our faith is hindered. Our faith is hindered. If it's just an exercise of throwing something in, and I appreciate Pastor Joe today, there was when he took the offering, there was time. He took time. And you had some time to think about what you were doing. In some churches, it's not like that. It says it's time for the offering. Gentlemen, come up. And then either there's an announcement that we missed, and so we'll say it, or all kinds of other stuff going on. And you say, what's going on? You're missing such an important part of worshiping God. It's giving. It's not a gimmick. It's not a gimmick. It truly is worship. So there is a sacred element in giving. I get paid once a month. We get paid once a month as missionaries. The greatest thing is when I write that tithe check out. And when I write those offering checks out. I'm telling you, it's joy. Sitting at that desk, I worship. All right, number two, there's a supernatural element. There always has been, and there always will be a supernatural element in giving. But I have to warn you, in the West, we have let this enlightenment get the better of us. We want to reason everything away. We think we're so intelligent that we have excluded God from His Word at times. And it's become mechanical, this giving. And we haven't allowed time for the supernatural power of God to manifest Himself in our situation. There is a supernatural element in giving. Supernatural, departing from what is usual, normal, especially so as to appear to transcend, go beyond the laws of nature. I'm talking about something that if everything's going north, all of a sudden it goes south. Not in a bad way, but changing direction. But see, we misuse this word supernatural. We do that as a culture all the time. Let me give you a couple examples. We love that word awesome. And by definition, the first definition, awesome, means to inspire awe. Inspire awe. Let me tell you, as good as that burrito was, it doesn't inspire awe. In my book, in my vocabulary, I reserve that word awesome for God. He alone is awesome. And then we throw the word miracle around. When something good happens, we say, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. For example, you're going to Meijer or you're going to Walmart and you drive around and all of a sudden there's an empty spot, the closest one to the door. And it's a miracle. Well, I don't think the earth shifted on its axis. I don't think the sun, you know, all that. I don't think that happened. Your timing is great. The Lord favored you. He blessed you for whatever reason. But save that word miracle. But supernatural, friends, supernatural, when something is supposed to happen by natural ways, and all of a sudden, boom, something else happens. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs 11:24. I believe this is supernatural. Are you ready? One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Just think, just for a minute. Natural, one man gives freely. In the natural, when one man gives freely, he's going to run out. Whether it's beans, rice, whatever it is. If you keep giving, you're going to run out. But supernaturally, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. The second part of that, another withholds unduly. In the natural, we say, if I don't give it away, I'm going to have it so that I can spend it on something else. In the natural, that's how we think. But God says, another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. I believe that's supernatural. You see, if we give and if we're generous, somehow God brings it in. But if we withhold it, if we keep it because we're led by selfishness, we're led by the spirit of mammon or poverty, and we're fearful of that, we're going to end up in poverty. Isn't it interesting? I'm going to get to Malachi. Isn't it interesting that God gives us a challenge, and He challenges us when it has to do with our money? He didn't challenge us about grace, about mercy, about forgiveness. But He said, He gave us one time where He said, you can test me in this. You can test me. And it has to do with money. Why? Because God is so wise. He knew that for all humanity, all time, people are going to struggle in this area. Look, we need money to live. That's why we should be talking about money in church. Most of your problems and my problems have to do with money. All right, we'll be honest some other time. But it's true, isn't it? It's a daily issue. We're concerned. It consumes us. How am I going to pay my bills, school fees, and it goes on and on. But God says, if you do it my way, you'll have peace. That's what it is. Now, He challenges us here in this area of our money. Why? Because He says, if you will do it the way I've said to do it, I will prove myself to you. And I believe this is what God is telling me to tell the churches during this itineration, that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. In Malachi chapter 3, you know it, verse 10 through 12, God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there be meat in my house. Prove me now in this, says the Lord. See if I will not throw open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing upon you, you will not have room enough to contain it. And some other promises He makes in there. It's not only tithes, it's tithes and offerings. Now, that phrase, open the windows of heaven, that appears in a variation like that five other times in the Bible. Five other times. One of those times is when God was bringing judgment upon the earth. He told Noah, go build that ark, get your family in there and get two of every animal, get on that ark, close the door. So what happens? It begins to rain. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 7, God opened the floodgates of heaven. He opened the floodgates. I don't know if they slide. I don't know if they push open. But He opened them. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. At the same time, the springs of the earth burst forth. So water was coming this way and water was coming down. 40 days and 40 nights, constant rain. Rained so much water, that the earth that you and I are on right now was totally covered in water. Totally. So why do I bring this up? I bring it up just to simply say, when God says, see if I will not throw open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing upon you, He has the ability to bless. And the blessing that He can pour out upon us would consume us. It would consume us. That's just a word picture. Open up that window and see what God's going to do. Now here's where we get in trouble. Especially, well, really, it's all over the world now. We tell God how to bless us. And that's where we get in trouble. And so what oftentimes it borders on witchcraft. Where we say, God, I'll give you this because I need this. And sometimes we hear if you give it here, by the time you get home, you're going to find it there. Now, friend, I'm saying this. I believe in seed time and harvest. I believe that. I believe that we should be sowing seeds. But I'm more comfortable letting God determine how to bless me. Because I am very nearsighted. God sees the whole picture. And so oftentimes we tell God how to bless us, but then we also tell Him, we think, as Westerners, we think money is the only way God blesses us. And that's just one way. That's just one way. He is able to bless us in incredible ways. Peace in the household. You, borrowing a phrase, priceless. Laughter around the dinner table. Or should I back up and say, eating together around the dinner table? Priceless. Laughter at that time. Priceless. These, friends, are blessings from the Lord. Don't limit God. Don't limit God and just think He only blesses us financially. He does. That's part of it. But it's so much more than that. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus talked about this. I call it a companion verse to this whole idea. Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured into your lap. That's that whole idea of abundance, isn't it? But you notice in Malachi and in Luke, there's a catalyst. And the catalyst is us in giving. First you give. Oh, it got quiet. Look again. No, really. You got to give first. You give. You honor God. It's this walk of faith. It's trusting God. That's what it's all about. This whole idea of us honoring God with money, He doesn't need it. But He wants to prove Himself to us. So we, when we give it away, here's how I view my tithes and offerings. Are you ready? In the world we live in, this world says whoever has the most money has the most influence. That's the world we live in. And the one who has the most money is able to get the most stuff. The one who has the most stuff, that's the one people admire the most. And so people want to imitate the one who has so much. In my mind, I take my tithe and offering and I say, Lord, this is influence in the world that I live. But I love You so much, I'm willing to lay down my influence in this world. And I want to dethrone me and enthrone You. That's what it is. Every time we give, it's not to pay the electricity bill. It's to say, Jesus, You're more important in my life. Let me tell you that we only have to be accountable for what we have. You are not accountable for something you don't have. So whatever resources you have, that's what God is asking you to move on. Let me go to point number three real quick. So there's a sacred element, there's a supernatural element, and now there's a sacrificial element. You thought it was quiet the first 2 points. I want to tell you there is a richness in self-denial. There is a richness in self-denial. Deliberate, purposeful self-imposed hardship. In America, we love to give, but unfortunately, most of us give out of our excess. Statistically, in America, less than 5% of the people tithe, Christians. Less than 5%, all denominations. Friends, that's pathetic. It's pathetic. It's embarrassing. That's why I said earlier, if He's truly Lord, how can we not honor Him? I believe that if we ignore God's method of funding His mission, let me say it, if we ignore God's method of funding His mission, our approach becomes worldly. When we ignore this, when we ignore teaching each other about honoring God with a tithe and giving sacrificial offerings, when we ignore this, then we begin to bring in the marketing schemes from the world. and we begin to throw pies at pastors' faces to get money. And we have youth pastors who sleep on billboards to get money. And we want the world's money to fund God's mission, and we're not willing to sacrifice to fund God's mission. We are embarrassing ourselves. Embarrassing ourselves. Let me give you an example. I know I'm a little over. If you turn on Christian television, be careful. Just because it's in the Christian bookstore doesn't mean it's good for you. Just because it's on Christian television doesn't mean it's good for you. But you'll hear this. You'll hear this. In order for us to stay on the air, we need your love offering. But if you send us $50, you're our partner. We're going to send you a cute little keychain. It's an angel keychain. That way you can put your keys on there, slip it in your pocket, and when you're living your life and you feel that God is distant, just reach your hand in your pocket, touch that angel, and you'll feel God's presence. Hallelujah. You're our partners for $50. But for our special partners who give $100, we're going to send you a statue. And let's say it's a wooden statue of David with a sling in his hand. Can you see it? So that you know, you place it on your desk. Whenever you're facing a challenge, just look at that and know that your God is able. Special partners, $100. But now, for our premium partners, if you send $250, we're going to send you a Bible. But it's not just a Bible. It's a Bible, and we're going to put your name on it. Because you're our premium partners. Let me tell you something. I don't need an angel in my pocket to remind me of God's presence. I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't need a wooden thing on my desk to remind me of God's power. The desk is crowded enough. I don't need a new Bible with my name. I need God's grace to do what this one's telling me to do. I made light of that, friends, but I'm serious. You know what we've done? We've got a generation that's following us that doesn't know about sacrificial giving. They're only going to give when they know they can get something. That's not godly giving. Whatever happened? Whatever happened to sacrificial giving? Whatever happened to God, you can have it all. I'm going to give it to you and I'll get my reward in heaven. I'm saying we need to introduce this back into the church, not only in America, but in Africa. Somehow God honors His word. When you honor Him with the tithe, when you honor Him with sacrificial offerings, when it hurts to give, God is somehow pleased. And your reward will be waiting. So let's sacrifice for His kingdom, so that others can hear the message of forgiveness. The last thing I want to say, that Psalm 67. It's a prophetic psalm. It's a prophetic psalm. God will bless us and all the ends of the earth will fear Him. I'm telling you, friends, that God has blessed us. He has blessed us with the message of salvation. That's the blessing that the psalmist is talking about. It's going to the nations. Hallelujah. The blessing. God told Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. Your descendants are going to be so great you won't be able to number them. You will be a blessing to the nations. This is what the psalmist is talking about. The message of Jesus Christ, salvation through Christ, that's going to be a blessing to the nations. But also, it's about the finances. We are blessed. God will bless us. I'm telling you, God has blessed us. He has blessed us with resources. You have more than you need. You have more than you need. Why? Because God wants us all to be a blessing to the nations. So the message goes to the nations, but that message has to be funded somehow. And it's up to you and to me. Your money, His mission. He has blessed us. He has blessed us so that the ends of the earth
will know Him. When I was praying about this service, I felt God say, give an invitation and have them come to the front if they want their finances to be consecrated for Him, to be set apart for Him. I don't do this in the churches. This isn't a normal thing. It is not. But I'm going to give that invitation right now. Your resources, whatever God has given you, the amount is really insignificant. But if you want it under the Lordship of Christ, if you want it consecrated, if you want it set apart, I'm going to ask that you join me here, up here. Come to the front right now. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. I don't know what God has in store. I don't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if you are faithful in your tithes and your sacrificial offerings. I don't know. I don't know if you are faithful or if you are unfaithful. You know. But this is a good time. This is a good time if you're not right in that area to make it right. Because you see, friends, it's more about money. Though I talked all about money, it's really a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. He's got to get in our hearts. We've got to let go. We've got to serve wholeheartedly God. Would you just lift your hands? Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. Lord, I ask that You would come into each and every heart, each and every family represented, and Lord, become Lord of our finances. Become Lord of our finances. Lord, would You take what we have, would You sanctify it? Would You sanctify it and set it apart for Your use? Oh God, do something among us now. Do a deep spiritual work. Do a deep spiritual work. Lord, pry those hands. There are some who are fearful. Lord, give them Your peace now. Give them Your peace, Lord. Oh God, let them know that You can be trusted. You can be trusted. You can be trusted. Lord, pry those fingers. Pry those fingers off of that wallet. Lord, pry it off. Not just for an event, not for a moment, Lord, but for a lifetime. For a lifetime. For a lifetime. Lord, be Lord of all. Be Lord of all. Be Lord of all. Lord, I don't know what Pastor Joe's vision is for this year. I didn't listen to that message. But I'm sure there's going to be resources involved. There has to be, Lord. When we're trying to reach a community, when we're trying to reach a state, when we're trying to reach the world, it takes resources. So, Lord, I pray that You would consecrate Mount Hope, Portland right now. Consecrate their resources, their financial resources, so that, Lord, individuals and leadership would use it according to Thy will. Let there be Spirit-led giving. Spirit-led giving, I pray. Let faith abound. Let faith be built up. Let miracles happen. I pray in the name of Jesus, consecrate my brothers and sisters. Set them apart. Set them apart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.